You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Friday, so Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the Recombobulation Area. Just want to remind folks, Saturday night, before you go to bed, turn your clocks back 1 hour. What?
Okay. You have clocks to turn back.
I have clocks.
I know you
do. Am I the only one who has clocks?
I think we talked about this.
I have a clock to turn back.
You have a clock?
A clock, yeah.
I have no clocks, honestly. I'm just thinking about this right now. I have no clock. Well, I don't count the microwave. What
okay, so you don't count those.
I don't look for the time on the microwave.
But you don't have actual clocks?
I don't have clocks.
Oh, God, I have a lot of clocks.
Yeah, I have a clock. One clock.
A clock.
A clock. And singular.
I have like 20 clocks.
All of the other clocks.
I'll be busy Saturday night, but maybe the rest of you won't.
What are you doing Saturday night? I'm winding and resetting my clocks.
Always a tough time of year for parents, too. Kids don't know that time is changing.
Neither do pets.
Oh, no.
Her feeding time, she's going to be staring at you for an hour.
She can learn to feed herself.
Till she. Anyway, daylight saving time comes to an end this weekend. So Saturday night, before you go to bed, turn your clock back 1 hour. We get to sleep in an extra hour on Sunday.
People who don't have kids do.
And then it's going to be dark at 4 o'clock.
So. Yeah. Oh, I'm not looking forward to that.
That is the reality of it. So anyway, it's just a little reminder. Yeah, that is where we are. So let's... I am the killer of joy. This is my job. I am the stomper of joy. 7 takeaways from the October 2025 Marquette poll.
Yeah.
Another great column in the Recombobulation Area. So that came out this week.
A lot of words this week. Yeah.
Can I just say thank you for when you do this one? Because I love the Marquette poll, but when I see the Marquette poll, it's like saying to yourself, I'm going to read the Odyssey. And you're like, no, I'm not. This has got a lot of words. You look at this thing and you always do a wonderful job of breaking it down and making it so my brain of cats can understand it.
Well, I appreciate that, Greg. Yeah. Thank you. That's the goal, right? I translate detailed polling data into something that people can read and understand.
But there's so much information in there.
They do so much beyond just like the horse race,
which
candidate is winning, which candidate has the high approval rating, whatever. They talk about the issues. They talk about the trends. There's so much there. So I think, as I wrote in the piece, there's really no meaningful information about the Democratic primary so far.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants to think about it yet.
Nobody's paying attention to it yet at all. A lot of these candidates are not that well known statewide. It's 81% was undecided in this. And so it's just like, what am I going to? And the margin of error was over 6%. And all of the candidates were within the margin of error. There's nothing really to be learned from that. Unfortunately, I was looking forward to it.
What did they talk to? 10 people?
Learned from there. They talked to, I think the sample was like 400 people.
No
and
kidding.
For the Democratic side, it was like 400 for Democratic side, 400 for the Republican side. And the 81% was undecided. So it's just like, well, what are you going to do? I was interested to learn who might be ahead so far, but nobody is. So we'll just move it along. So there's nothing really to be gained from that. I think the issue poll, there is a lot of really interesting issue polling here. And a lot of stuff that you guys have been talking about on the show here on Matinair on Air in particular. Inflation and cost of living still way, way out ahead as the top issue that voters in Wisconsin are most concerned with. Ranked almost 70% of voters said it was a very concerning issue, ranked as the most important issue for voters by far. And I think a lot of that is tied to another question that was asked in the poll about tariffs and about whether tariffs and Trump's policies are causing some of the inflation
we're
seeing now.
Sure.
And I think Wisconsin voters can see what's in front of them and can recognize that Trump tariffs are hurting the economy and tariffs are making costs go up. And so in Wisconsin, again, we are this 50-50 divided state.
Right.
55% of registered voters said that tariffs are harming the U.S. economy. Only 33% said it helps the U.S. economy. Among, you know, independents and Democrats, it's very, very much overwhelming to say it hurts the economy. They also asked about whether it hurts farmers. We've been hearing a lot. You guys have been talking a lot on the show about how tariffs are impacting Wisconsin farmers. 62% of Wisconsin voters say that tariffs hurt Wisconsin farmers. Only 16% say they're helping Wisconsin farmers. And if you look at this by region, the Marquette poll breaks it down in kind of the major media markets in the state and then groups northern and western Wisconsin into one category. Only 12% of voters in northern and western Wisconsin say tariffs are helping farmers.
Wow.
That's where a lot of farming happens in Wisconsin, right? And so I think people can see what's in front of them. They might get these lies from the Trump administration saying that the tariffs are bringing, you know, manufacturing and agriculture home. It's not. No. And people see what's in front of them. And I think this is an issue that Republicans are going to be very vulnerable on.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, we're talking to Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, also the creator of the Recombobulation Area, talking about the recent Marquette University Law School poll about the political situation in Wisconsin. I want to go back to messaging just for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And the Biden administration and even Kamala Harris got a lot of criticism leading up to the last election for not talking about prices and not admitting that prices were up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big mistake by not acknowledging. I'm sorry, at least in my estimation, we heard a lot from the Biden administration. Things are fine. Things are getting better. The economy is moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. That was accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they never said, we know groceries are expensive. Now we're seeing the other thing from the Republican Party, which is essentially the sky is green. Prices are down. Prices are down. Prices. Donald Trump says it almost on a daily basis. Groceries are down. Energy is down. Gas is down. That is blatantly untrue. And yet that seems to be the messaging that they are hammering.
And people believe it too, then.
They seem to
immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but I do think that, you know, people in Wisconsin really do not like tariffs. There's a lot of these polls that you look at issue by issue over and over. It's partisanship colors it so much.
Yes.
And it is so much through a partisan lens. Like if you look at the shutdown, it's Democrats, you know, Democratic voters are blaming Republicans and Republican voters are blaming Democrats.
Yeah, sure.
That's how it's going. But if you look at this, like the fact that we have more than 60% of Wisconsinites often don't agree on
anything
as much, saying that tariffs are hurting farmers. Like people can see the reality in front of them. It was the same as the case when, you know, the Biden administration was saying, inflation was the, it's better here than any other of the countries in the Western world. Again, it's the, we're taking three sentences to explain we're losing situation. Yeah. But also it's just like, it kind of, you know, dismisses people's very real concerns about how these prices are impacting their own families and their own lives.
Yep.
And the problem is that we now live in such a news center. Well, we live in such a place where you can get your news on such a deep confirmation bias that if someone takes that information and presents it to Tom Tiffany and says, what do you say to 60% of Wisconsinites saying that tariffs are hurting people? All he has to do is say, that's a liberal poll. I don't believe in that stuff. They have to do is reject it outright. That's it. And never address the problem. Therefore, never having to give a real plan except for saying, we're going to keep doing what we're doing because America's winning. Then we don't get the discussion that the Wisconsinites deserve in such a critical election coming up in such a critical time that will, I mean, let's face it, what are the odds in Vegas we'll have midterms? I'm asking that question for real. So with an election like governor's coming up, we need candidates who are going to answer the questions. And unfortunately, we now permit our candidates to just slough it off and move on without having to do anything except saying they like the orange guy. That's it.
Yeah. Well, I think he's going to have to do more than that. I think any Republican candidate running in Wisconsin in the midterm this year is going to have to do more than that because people can see what's in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
People can see that the tariffs are impacting prices, that that costs are still going up. You know, there was kind of this interesting breakdown within the poll. There was a gender gap on the question of whether grocery prices go up.
Gee, women, who does the shopping?
Women more often said that grocery prices are going up,
yes.
And particularly Republican men saying that grocery prices are not going up. There was a partisan gap on this, like there is with everything. You know, Republican women don't say that prices are going up at the same level that Democratic women do, you know. But at the same time, there was a significant gender gap there, which they pointed out in the poll, which I thought was very interesting.
Gee, what a shock.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I saw one Republican lawmaker on my social media from this morning saying, I don't understand why if you get SNAP benefits, which equals about $4,200 a year, that you can't survive on that. That's $350 a month. I just spent $48 on one bag of groceries last week. Mm-hmm. One bag of for two people.
Yeah.
So don't tell me that $350 is going to carry a family of four for a month. Tell me you've never been into a grocery store. That guy.
Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys that's experiencing the gender gap in that poll. Apparently.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah.
I want to point out another thing too here about not just, you know, the issue polling. There's a poll they always do. They've started doing this thing at the Marquette poll now where they basically poll the three branches of government in Wisconsin. So like poll approval rating for Tony Evers, approval rating for the state legislature, approval rating for this, Wisconsin Supreme Court. So Tony Evers is a slight net positive as he typically is, net plus five in the approval ratings. Wisconsin Supreme Court, as it typically has been, a slight positive as well, a net plus six. The liberal-controlled Wisconsin Supreme Court.
I find that very interesting.
Yeah, why is that?
Just because, again, depending upon who you listen to, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. My goodness, there's nothing but Marxist, female, feminist, liberal, Marxist, socialist.
Don't forget Marxist.
On caravans.
Yeah, it turns out people are supporting of the people that they voted to put in office there on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The one branch of government that does not have a net positive approval rating is the Republican-controlled Wisconsin state legislature.
Shocker.
Yeah, they are a net minus 11. It is much wider than they're much worse viewed than any other branch of government in Wisconsin. And I think this matters more now because if we're kind of 1 year out now, that's what part of the thought of this poll here. What are the issues and candidates that matter 1 year out from the midterms? We're 1 year out. People are not approving of the Wisconsin state legislature. The gap is getting wider. Republicans have controlled this body for more than 15 years. Going into the 2026 election, this is the first chance that Wisconsin will have to elect a Democratic legislature with new maps in a generation. And so I think if you're looking at this, a big picture here, the fact that it is, and there is, a huge split down partisan lines on this. So the approval of the legislature plus 8 among Republicans, minus 9 among independents, minus 33 among Democrats. You really do not like
they only pulled Jeannie from they only pulled Jeannie from Claire.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, going into 2026 with the trifecta possibility out there, the fact that the legislature has this approval rating and people see it through a partisan lens, I think that's a factor. I think it's a big deal.
And I'm just wondering for right now, we'll talk about it in the future, what it looks like if Robin Voss decides not to run again. That's a piece of the puzzle that will be interesting to see come forth.
Other than us throwing a party?
Dance party, new shoes. Stay close. We're going to keep recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Cal Zone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you have the Civic Media app, which you absolutely should, download it for free at wherever you get your apps. And then you can leave a voice note as well. You can call and text and voice note directly from the Civic Media app. And we do some pretty fabulous contests.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Where you have to have the app if you want to play.
You two really, Dan, put your phone down.
You can't play.
There are really great, so the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, is great. The newsletter, civicmediatoday.substack.com, and then the Civic Media app. All free, all great ways of staying in touch, not only with Civic Media, but all of our individual networks around the Midwest.
Yeah.
So it's these are all free aspects. These are free resources, and it's about like getting your news, getting your music, getting your fun stuff, the podcast. Those are three great places to go. Civicmedia.us, civicmedia.today.substack.com, and the app as well. Get them all in your life.
Do it. It's free. And again, there could be another fabulous contest coming soon.
Is it a text to win?
It would be a multi-state text to win contest. And you have to have the app in order to play. So download it today. Civic Media. It's absolutely free. Like I said, Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area and also Civic Media's political editor. In this article from Fox 6, Milwaukee's new towing rule, crackdown on unpaid parking tickets, starts on November 1st. A Milwaukee alderman talked about this upcoming enforcement. Any vehicle parked legally or illegally whose owners has not complied with parking tickets is going to be towed and impounded. Starting on January 1st of this year, the city is sending out 30,000 letters to people who qualify as habitual parking violators. So there's a lot of revenue sitting out there for these people who won't pay their tickets.
A lot of people who've got parking tickets in Milwaukee, that's for sure.
These are people with five or more tickets more than 60 days overdue.
How do you...
And aren't they, isn't the average, because I've gotten a couple parking tickets over, they're $20, aren't they?
Something like that,
depends. And then it goes up the longer you wait. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The amount increases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just pay your tickets, people.
Yeah. Well, and I've seen like they started towing after what it was like two or three tickets there that you're able to tow. Like this is just kind of ramping that up in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had to go to the Milwaukee tow lot?
I bet it's really a lovely experience.
Either of you ever had to go to the Milwaukee tow lot?
No.
Once, not because of parking tickets, because I got a flat I had a spin out on a flat tire off of the national exit in West Dallas area.
Okay.
And I had there was no cell phone at the time.
Sure.
And I had to walk somewhere to find a phone. And when I came back, they towed my car. And so I had to go and I'm like, what did you do? Like, well, we had to get rid of it. It was in the way. I'm like, but my car now. And so I had to go to the lot and pay the money and all the things. And I was like, this is ridiculous.
And what did you have to pay to get it out?
Oh, I don't remember. These are like late 90s prices. So probably like,
I was going to say 100, 150 bucks. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that cannot be inexpensive.
No. But it's not also, I lived on the east side.
Oh, well, there's nowhere to park.
Years
it should just come with parking tickets.
Like right up the hill off of Lafayette by McKinley Marina. I used to live over there. We had to street park. So I got a lot of parking tickets. It was a lot of like snow parking or whatever.
Yeah.
They will ticket you for any little thing that you're going to screw up when you're parking on the east side. It's just kind of one of the charms of the neighborhood when you're living over there. So I did get towed. I got towed twice in the 6 or 7 years that I lived over there.
Ow.
So I got towed twice. I had to go to have somebody give me a ride to that tow lot, sit there while they process it. Oh my gosh, is that an awful experience?
It can't be good.
Yeah. But the thing I get frustrated with sometimes is like, sometimes you don't know you get a parking ticket. Like, you know, the ticket will blow away.
Mm-hmm.
Or like they clip it under your windshield wipers or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
Or, you know, you'll get something in the mail, but it's like way later. It's like sometimes hard to.
You miss it in the mail.
There needs to be like a better notification process for when people know that they have a parking ticket. Like everybody's got your like phone number and email address now. Like you're not hard to get
find.
A hold of.
Well, if your car is registered and you have a license plate that's got valid plates, it should be linked to an email address. And as soon as they plug that ticket in, it goes directly to your email saying you got a ticket. Congratulations. Yeah. I think though, you ask the question, why aren't people paying them? If there's not really good enforcement, what's the incentive?
Well, exactly.
It's like, what are they going to do? Tow my car? Well, yeah, they are now.
Yeah, they are.
Oh,
driver Cynthia Curry mentioned in this article from Fox 6, she said she got put on a payment plan because she was so far behind after her car got towed. She said it's a great option. Get on a payment plan and work it out. Yep. I had some situations come up where my car got towed. Money was short. I had to pay it. So I got on a payment plan. I mean, that's better than having your car towed. Pay $5 a month or whatever.
Yeah. So there are options for people instead of just avoiding it forever. So there's that. There's another towing cars related story coming out of Milwaukee. The state legislature approved a bill allowing Milwaukee to tow vehicles that have been associated with reckless driving.
What?
which I actually think is a good thing.
I think that's a great thing.
I think if they find a car parked somewhere that they like, hey, this has tickets or whatever, dealing with reckless driving, yeah, they can just tow it now.
But then what if that
I think the city has to like approve it in its budget this year to finalize, but the state kind of like created the mechanism to allow them to do
that. But I worry now about people whose cars were stolen and then used by kids using it as joyrides. They're the ones who are going to get punished for that, ultimately.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking too.
We have news coming up next. Uh-huh. When we return, we're going to lighten it up. It's time for a little audio sorbet. We'll talk all things Halloween and do a special tribute to a song that debuted 50 years ago today. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor, also the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. And this is the portion of the program where we call it audio sorbet.
Mm-hmm.
We lighten things up, get away from the news, take a breath, so we can all recombobulate. Essentially.
And clean our ears with fun.
The official title of the audio sorbet segment. We had Calvin bump in with Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen, which debuted today, 50 years ago today.
Whoa.
50 years. And I remember if you watch the Queen documentary, there's a great documentary out about Queen. When they first played Bohemian Rhapsody for a record executive, he's like, what is this?
Yeah.
I mean, this is never going to sell.
It was, I mean, just the fact it was over 3.5 minutes, they were like, this is never going to,
you'll never get radio play.
You want a 7-minute song on the radio with an opera section? Good luck. We'll see what happens. Never hear from them again.
Yeah. We never heard from that record executive again. But it seemed to work out pretty well for Queen. I don't know anybody who doesn't know the words to that song now.
Oh, I know. It's such a classic.
We all sing along to it.
It's I think the Wayne's World, you know,
the Wayne's World scene
gave it a second life, you know, 15 years after it was out with Wayne and Garth rocking out to it. We've all done that, right? Yeah. Cranked up Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody in the car and sang along and banged our head to it.
I heard once a long time ago, someone said, everybody... When you listen to La Bamba, everybody thinks they know how to speak Spanish. When you listen to Bohemian Rhapsody, everyone thinks they can sing opera. Because they'll get very floaty, like, sing the first part, and as soon as the opera part, they're like, you back stiffen, and get ready, deep from the diaphragm, and then don't let anyone hear you sing.
Well, in tribute to the classic that is Bohemian Rhapsody,
yes.
I found this on my social media last week. I think this is so fun.
Yeah.
Let's play this homage.
Homage, yes.
Homage, Calvin, to Bohemian Rhapsody. Play that clip, please. There's video we'll put in the show notes.
Yeah.
Rubber chickens,
people.
Rubber chickens.
Oh, that's good.
C sharp.
Nice.
C sharp.
Here we go. High notes.
I've watched Jane watch this probably a dozen times, and she reacts every time like she's seeing it for the first time.
It just makes me happy.
Yeah, that's what
it does.
Love it. Oh, look at that.
Here we go. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
God. I love how much you love it.
Yeah. Bohemian Rhapsody on Rubber Chickens. You have never seen anything like it. Will make your life better.
Coming to Radio City Music Hall this fall.
He's actually a concert pianist.
He's a concert pianist. Yeah, he's got a great... I don't know if I can pronounce his name, but he does these great videos about classical music, but makes them funny by just staring into the camera with this dead-eyed stare while playing this really complicated music. And now he's starting to do the Rubber Chicken one.
Yeah.
I saw him do a System of a Down song, and he's in
a tux.
He's in tails.
Yeah, he's in tails.
White tux and tails, and he plays it with the vigor of a concert pianist staring at the camera with all sorts of, you know, gusto.
And the rubber chickens are all on a string in front of him. Yep. It is hilarious.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
That mix of, you know, fine art and something so deeply silly.
Right?
That's great stuff.
It's just beautiful. So if you want to see the video element, and I highly encourage that you do, it'll make your day better.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll include that in our show notes after the show is over. Go to civicmedia.us, click on shows, go to Matt Nair on Air, and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Spread it around.
Tell a friend.
Spread some joy today.
Spread the joy.
With some rubber chickens doing Bohemian Rhapsody. All right. We can talk about Halloween now that I got that out of my system. I've been sitting on that for a couple of weeks.
You have been. Yeah, absolutely.
I just think
getting
it's
ready for the anniversary of the song. To gotta find
yes.
it, you know,
that's
find
exactly
that hook.
What we were doing, Dan. We
yes.
planned it to the hilt. So.
Lots of preparation for this.
Yes, yes.
Let's talk Halloween. Halloween costumes, your favorite. What have you have done in the past that was a huge hit?
Yeah.
What are you going as this year? What are your kids dressing up as? What is the hot Halloween costume? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I know you went out with your girls last weekend.
That's right. Yeah, I live in probably the best neighborhood in the world for Halloween, Washington Heights on the west side of Milwaukee. They block off like 7 or 8 city blocks.
Dang.
And they have competitions with each block against each other
to have
the best decorations. It's called the Washington Heights Spooktacular. It's one of my favorite events that we have every year. It's always the Saturday before Halloween. We had an absolute blast. The kids look forward to it for months. And I have 2 daughters, as you know. And so they went as the 2 witches from Wicked. So Glinda the Good Witch and
Elphaba.
And so they went back and forth for months about who was going to be which one. And my oldest ended up going as Elphaba, the Wicked Witch. And she painted her face green and all that. That green paint was on there for a couple days.
Was it really?
She looked sick for a couple days after.
I don't know how to say this. I'm not trying to insult your children. They're wonderful children. I hear great things about them. I really would have expected her to be Glinda. I don't know why. The way you described your youngest, she's got that energy that seems like Elphaba.
But she's the sparkly girl.
But she wanted
true.
The sparkles.
The younger is the sparkly girl.
Right, you're right.
She's the one after my own heart.
My niece went as Elphaba as well, and she was caked in green makeup. And I'm like, good luck with that. But she looked so cute. I'm pretty sure my nephew went dressed as a monster truck.
Oh, I like that.
He loves monster trucks.
Good. Yeah. So were you?
And I was the wizard.
Nice.
I was the wizard. So I basically just did a Jeff Goldblum impression the whole night.
Go ahead.
Must go faster.
Best Halloween costumes. What are you doing to celebrate the holiday? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jenny on the live stream says Washington Heights and Bayview have the best Halloween celebrations in Wisconsin.
The name is escaping me, even though I lived there for 7 years, but there's one street specifically in Bayview that's the same.
South Superior, I think.
Right? No, it's on the other side. I'm going to look it up, but they are like, it is.
Go all out.
It is all out, and it's multiple houses, and this has to be thousands of dollars every year spending because they are, they're basically making what looks like mini movie sets on their front lawn.
We have one like that in our neighborhood, and our trick-or-treat is tonight. We always do.
Same with ours.
Nighttime trick-or-treating the Friday before Halloween. Now it lines up nicely because it's actually Halloween. But there is one house in our neighborhood that has a whole backdrop in front of their house and 9-foot skeletons and monsters, and people just go all out. It's really impressive.
There was one house in Washington Heights where they did a whole scene, a Godzilla scene. So they built these like fake looking towers, and somebody in a Godzilla suit was walking around knocking them down. And then another guy in a construction vest was like building them back up.
Awesome.
It was incredible. Yeah. Real commitment there.
Is the competition in Washington Heights between the neighbors, is it good, or do you hear murmurs of like, not sabotage, but like, oh, we've got to be better than this street. This, you know what I mean? Like,
no, people who take it too seriously. It's a very friendly competition.
Good. All right. Excellent. Yeah, yeah. Excellent.
Not, yeah. It's for the kids.
855. Of course it is. 855-752-4842. Talking all things Halloween. Ollie from the Northwoods is joining us. Good morning, Ollie. Are you dressing up this year?
I wish I lived in Washington Heights.
It sounds great, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I don't have the greatest costumes. I have two of the worst costumes our mother made. We were poor, let's put it that way.
Sure.
And one year she dressed me up as a pumpkin that was made with cloth and coat hangers. Unfortunately, she forgot to realize that when she sent me off to the church party, that I couldn't sit down because I couldn't sit down in that costume. And another costume that she made my sister and I was she sewed two sheets together and made us go as Siamese twins.
Oh, boy.
Well, it's pretty hard to trick-or-treat as Siamese twins.
Oh, my gosh, Ollie, that is hilarious. Thank you so much. Appreciate
you
checking
much.
In. 855-752-4842. What are you doing for Halloween? Are you dressing up? Maybe you've had a Halloween costume from the past that you thought was pretty spectacular. Jenny, again on the live stream, in honor of the final season of Stranger Things premiering next month, I will be the L to my dog's Eggo waffle.
What? Stranger Things. It's been so long since there was an episode. Mm-hmm. I forget what happens.
I will have to remind myself.
11 and the Eggo waffles. I do remember that.
Okay, all right. Do you have a costume of great memory for
my
yourself?
My favorite costume I ever did, one year I was Britney Spears in 20 years. So this goes back to her schoolgirl phase.
Oh, boy.
So I did the patent leather shoes and the knee socks, and I had a short little plaid skirt. And then I took two balloons, and I blew them up, and I filled them with Jell-O. And then I stuffed those in my shirt, and I blacked out a couple of teeth and drew a bunch of lines on my face and braided my hair in little braids, and I was Britney Spears in 20 years, which was great, except towards the end of the night, the Jell-O started to melt. So I would turn and I would slosh.
Okay.
So it was a costume with a little movement. And actually, if you're watching on the live stream this morning, you can tune in. This is my costume.
I'm wearing it
right now. I am a postmenopausal childless woman. I'm the GOP's biggest nightmare. How?
And I was saying I am the GOP's biggest disappointment. I am a 40-something white man with no children whose wife makes more than him. Oh, my God. There it is. They're here.
That's horrifying.
Dan, do you have any non-children, like you went to a party or you and your wife went to a party? Do you have any costumes that stick out for you in your memory?
So I'm not a big Halloween guy.
Same
like,
here.
I'll play along. Mm-hmm. I'll do it. So here's a great example of how my approach to Halloween. So my wife gets very into it. She's great. She did this absolutely all out, perfect to the nines Cleopatra costume.
Nice.
1 year. Sorry, discombobulated. Cleopatra costume 1 year. And I just kind of found this Julius Caesar toga thing at Goodwill at the last minute. And so we went to this party that was at a bar in Milwaukee or whatever. And like this woman comes up to my wife and she's just like, oh, you have the most amazing costume I've ever seen. And she looks over at me and goes, I like how you almost tried. And that's my approach to Halloween. I almost try. I'm playing along. I'm just there to make my wife
look
good.
By the way, Ronnie from Horicon checking in, listening on WAUK, referring, I'm assuming, to the rubber chicken tribute to Bohemian Rhapsody. Oh, my God, my dogs are going nuts. Stay with us when we come back. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Everybody sing.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our thanks to Dan Schaefer for joining us for the show today from the Recombobulation area, also Civic Media's political editor. Highly encourage you to subscribe to the Recombobulation area. Dan does amazing work.
Yes, he does.
Breaking down elections, breaking down polls, very Southeastern Wisconsin specific. So if you live around here, it's a great thing to subscribe to.
Multi-award-winning website, multi-award-winning reporters there. Recombobulation area is a great place. And it's very affordable,
yeah,
too. It does not cost a lot of money to support local news, which is what we need more now than any time in the world.
Without a doubt.
Local news. And we're seeing national news services getting gutted. So
Subscribe now. Subscribe today.
Really quick, I just wanted to mention something that was it earlier this week or last week? Time's a construct. But we had Madeline Anderson and James Flores from the Milwaukee Public Museum here talking about everything going on. And one of the things they were doing is celebrating Native American Heritage Month.
Yes.
And tomorrow at the Public Museum will be a powwow, the first ever powwow at Milwaukee Public Museum this Saturday, the Three Rivers powwow, and you are invited to go. The media
open
is
to the public.
They send it to us, but it's open to the public. They love to see people out there, but it is going to be November 1st. You can check their website for the time, and it's going to be on their second floor. So I just wanted to pass that along. If you want to see something wonderful, go to this powwow, experience it, and find out more about this wonderful culture in the state.
And if you do go, ask the dancers about their regalia, because there's a lot of stories behind what they're wearing,
yeah,
and the incredible beadwork and the incredible needlework that they do on these. It's fabulous.
Yes,
so
it is.
Yeah, check it out and support our Milwaukee Public Museum. It is just about 10:55, Calvin. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever find a thing you think this shouldn't be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. We've been doing Halloween-themed tisbets all week. We'll wrap it up with this one from UPI, Ben Hooper, coming through again.
Oh, man.
We love this guy. Headline reads, Utah man drops 1,917-pound pumpkin onto his Geo Metro.
Geo Metro, kids, ask your meemaw.
Yeah, there's a video element in included that I highly encourage you to check out. It will be in our show notes. A Utah man said a final farewell to his Geo Metro he drove for 35 years by dropping a 1,970-pound pumpkin from a height of about 14 stories. I'm just looking at the still photo from this.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a boulder. It's a boulder that's almost as big as this car.
Yeah.
But it's a pumpkin.
Yeah. It's gigantic.
Millville resident Albert Gerbert said his 91 Geo Metro finally stopped running this year, 35 years. So he decided to send it off in style by destroying it, as one does, with a giant pumpkin. His 1,917-pound pumpkin took first place at the Utah Giant Pumpkin Festival Way Off, was hoisted 14 stories in the air by a crane, and then dropped onto the 35-year-old compact car, caving it in a spectacular fashion. Gebert says, quote, "It's just something that we've talked about. Me and my wife have talked about for a long time. I guess you've been sitting around. What should we do with it? You know what would be fun? We decided this would be the best way for it to go. And it happened. And it's been kind of fun."
They own that car 25 years longer than the car company was in existence.
That's amazing.
Because Geo was a thing for a moment. There were car companies back in the night. The Saturn, the Geo, all these car companies that came out, you're like, oh, wow, they got some competition. Gone.
Gone.
Gone. But yeah, the Geo car company lasted 10 years. This guy had it for 35. Good. Wait a minute. Did
right?
they say it all? How many miles was on it?
He does not have the amount of miles.
Oh.
It must have been really impressive.
I'm gonna guess between 450 to 675,000.
You have to replace the engine.
Oh, I'm
at some point. Yeah. I mean, right?
I'm sure. But a Geo Metro, that was probably what you just take that out of, like, you know, like a shaver and just put it in there because it's like a tiny little engine. And it's like, or just actually put
take it out of your Roomba and you can run your Geo Metro.
Put tiny horses in there. It would work.
Well done.
I would totally do that.
Alan and his wife saying goodbye to their Geo Metro, 35 years old, dropping almost a 2,000-pound pumpkin on it.
It's a ton of fun.
Check it out. Nice. In our show notes, go to civicmedia.us at the very top, click on shows, and then go to Matt and Aaron Air, and we have about 2 months' worth of archives.
We have a whole section for This Shouldn't Be a Thing as well on that webpage, so you can find all of our tizbats
right there
securely and if you curated one section, you can listen to them all. You can listen to them all in a day, probably.
Calvin, that wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up on Monday, Civic Media's news director, Sholly Pittman, will be here. Hour number two, Greg Bach. We have a special announcement.
A special announcement?
A special announcement coming up on the show on Monday after the 10 o'clock news. I hope you can join us.
I'll be president.
You'll be here. You better be here.
I'll be here.
All right. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening and watching on the live stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great weekend. Happy Halloween. We'll see you Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.